Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast, episode number 26. My guest today is the author of the book, Everything is Messy. Her name is Kellyanne Gorman. This lady has been through quite a bit, and she also went through a lot of very difficult things recently, and she's transformed all of that into a way that she can serve other people. So one thing that she said to me was she wants people to know that they can have everything that they want. So check out this episode, and I hope that you create the life that you desire. Everything expressed in the Live Your Life podcast is either my opinion or the opinion of my guest, and this is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you find yourself in need of therapy or other healthcare services, please seek out resources for that. I'm Jasmine Savari, and welcome to the Live Your Life podcast. As a coach with a master's degree in psychology, I know that so many of us are missing the authentic experience of truly living our lives. I want to inspire you with conversations that expand your consciousness and empower you to create the best life possible. Let's start living now, because now is all we have. Hi, Kellyanne. Welcome to the Live Your Life podcast.
Hello. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so good. I'm so glad you're here. And I want to share with everybody how I found you. We were both part of a group for writing a book, and I saw that you had published your book, and I was so excited because I loved the name of your book and I loved your picture. And I was like, I have to have her on my podcast because even based on the title of your book, I'm like, she gets it. She totally gets it. So why don't you share with, well, it's the title of this podcast, but tell us about the name of the book and like, what the heck, where did it come from? What's happening?
Well, this book came out of, I don't even know, just like a mixture of the pandemic and just like my whole backstory. And I was writing a book about how I had a successful career as a pro makeup artist that got into luxury travel and private aviation and working for really high profile families. And I was just writing like my life story. And then this traumatic event happened where I got sick and I was misdiagnosed and all of that. And then I think it was because the pandemic kind of triggered me where I just didn't want to write anything traumatic. Like, nobody wants to hear a traumatic story. So I'm like, I need to write something that's going to be happy. So what I started writing was a cookbook, because that was always my happy place, creating new recipes, you know, being in the kitchen, all of that stuff. Like, I've been posting these recipes online for like literally over a decade, and I'm not vegan. This turned into a vegan cookbook, but that's the story of how Everything is Messy started. So when I sat down to finalize this cookbook, when I was thinking about each recipe, it would remind me of a time in my life. So all of a sudden, 10 chapters of personal development came pouring out of me, and the chemical-free cookbook just didn't make sense anymore. That's what I was going to call it. And then the title, Everything is Messy, it just made sense because I'm super organized and I always have been like an obsessive planner. Like, it's just how I've always been. And I just think it's, everything is a mess right now, but like, there are so many things that you can do to be organized when you put in the work and just everything that you have in your power. Like, it doesn't have to be messy. So it's kind of like a play on words. And it's just something I was so passionate about when I was writing it. And it happened really fast. I wrote the entire book in a month, like launched it and everything. So it was pretty intense. I just, you know, the passion and the reason behind writing this book is to overall help people. So whether it's in their business or in their personal life. And I know I'm an expert in a lot of fields when it comes to organizing and trying to get what you deserve and working your, you know, what off and just like manifesting things and creating a reality. I've done all of that myself from just working before I got ill and then after the fact and going through a legal case and all of that. If you don't put in the work and you're not planned and organized and scheduled, like, you're not going to get the exact same results as you can get if you do the opposite. So that's kind of how it all started. And then how it launched was literally within a month. So it was pretty insane because I went 4 years writing one book to, nope, scratch that, we're doing this. And then it's really different. Everything I've created on the internet is very different. My podcast production company, just creating all kinds of content and programs. Like, why should my book be any different? So what you get is 10 chapters of personal development, but then sprinkled throughout the whole book, you get 20 vegan recipes. So there's no meat, no dairy, no gluten, no sugar. You can add them to anything that I have listed. Let me think. There's 4 breakfasts, 4 lunch, 4 dinner, 4 sweet sides, and 4 savory snacks. So I did everything like budget friendly and accessible for everyone. So it's kind of like a 2-in-1 book, really.
So I feel like this book is such a perfect representation of you. And I don't know you well, but I know you well enough to know that you have like your fingers in like 1,000 different things at one time.
Always, yeah.
And I think that also, like, if we want to talk about wellness and personal development, you can't be super specific. Like, it's mm-hmm. everything. It's everything that you're doing. It's your perspective. It's what you're eating. It's all these different pieces. And so it totally matches, I think, who you are.
Mm-hmm. And you do have to just feel it out. Like, for example, today, I just knew I needed a day off. It's Thursday. Is today Thursday? Yeah, today's Thursday. I never take a day off during the week, but I don't know. Something yesterday was like an emotional day for me. And then I just needed a day off. So I took a mental health day. Mm-hmm. I gave myself the day off. I'm recording with you today. And that's it. And what I did was organize my closet. I went through end of year tasks. I started setting up my new year. Like, sometimes you just know when you feel it and you just need to stop. Like, I'm going to go to the beach later, work out, and that's it. Like, I don't want to do anything else. I just need mm-hmm. to like clear house, get some new energy flowing.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily, I think it can be hard to take time off during the week when you're somebody who is so organized and so like goal oriented. So how do you wrap your mind around that? Like, do you have a problem allowing yourself to take time off?
No, I don't. I just know that I have to immediately schedule like everything I was going to do today. It's already mapped out for tomorrow and over the weekend so that I can get ahead. I always usually work half day Fridays and then I like to work on Sundays so I can like get ahead of the week. But mm-hmm. I just, certain things, like if I had to take care of certain things, like I'll do them, but I'm just not creating any content today. I'm not recording today, except for your show, but like not for my show. I'm not producing today. I just needed, like, when you're constantly on the go and creating content, especially, like, you need time to, like, get better energy going and figure out, like, what you want to create next. So,
yeah,
I definitely allow myself that time. I don't get stressed out when I'm like, oh my God, I have to do double the work tomorrow, because I know it's just going to be quicker and so much easier. Mm-hmm. I just know, because when I have one of these days, I'm like, yep, today's my day off mm-hmm. on a random Thursday.
Yeah, you have to plug yourself in, totally. So are you open to sharing with everybody just like your story? Like, you've done a lot. You said the makeup and then the travel and all that kind of stuff. Can you give everyone a little backstory about like who you are and how you came to be here today?
Sure. So I go by The Happy Workaholic online. That is my brand, which is so proper. Properly fitting for me. I've just mm-hmm. always loved to work. From an early age, I grew up working for my family, and then I worked in so many restaurants, and then just traveling for over a decade was incredible. I was a makeup artist for about 14 or 16 years, I think it was. And I got to travel the world and do a craft, and that's hard to get jobs like that, and it's something that I created. A lot of things that I have in my life, I have because I created them. For example, the job in the cruise ships, this was 2006 to 2008. I worked on 37 major cruise liners doing makeup. Every other week, I was on a different ship. And that's not normal. Normally, you would have a 6-month contract as a crew member, but I went on as a corporate artist for Lancome. And how I got that job was like back when people used fax machines, I would fax Carnival and Celebrity and Holland and all these major cruise line companies and call their 800 numbers asking them why don't they have makeup artists on board their ships. Because I had worked for a small cruise line out of New England before I started doing makeup, and I'm like, how can I merge these two jobs together? So I created this program with them, and then they launched artists for, was it Clinique, Estee Lauder, and Lancome, and I was the Lancome girl. So I created something that needed to exist, and this is something that I do all the time still to this day. Like, if it doesn't exist, you just need to make it happen, whether it's manifesting or just like creating a job. I mean, this pandemic is literally the perfect example, because so many people had to pivot their brand and their business and like bring it to the internet where they're used to being in an office, you know?
How did you know that cruise ships needed a makeup artist? Like, how did you know to even think about that?
I didn't. It's what I wanted. I wanted to travel again on a cruise ship, but I wanted to do makeup doing it. And I called all of them, their 800 numbers, and I would look on the website and there was no makeup. They only had a spa that had one product that was for like your hair, your face, and your body. I don't even, it was like an orange powder. It was so strange. But there was no professional makeup artist. But I wanted to travel and I wanted to do makeup. So I just literally would send faxes like every single day, call the 800 number. Some I think I emailed, but I really remember just faxing situation.
Oh my gosh.
It was like 6 months solid. And then it took about 3 months before I signed papers. And then there was two other girls they brought on for different lines. So it's just something that I wanted. I'm like, how do you not have this? Like, I'm going to help you make it happen.
That's amazing. Okay. So you started doing the makeup and then what happened?
So I was on board different ships for, it was about 2 years, and I just got so burnt out. I was so tired.
Yeah. What was that like living on cruise ships for so long?
Well, I went on as a guest. So I was like on vacation. And it was amazing. My face was plastered everywhere, like celebrity makeup artist. I did seminars to thousands at a time, showing them how to take care of their skin and their makeup. I mean, it was incredible. I'm still friends with so many people to this day that worked on ships that were crew members. And then I became friends with so many guests as well, because I was always in guest quarters. So crew life and guest life is totally different. I mean, I tried to go to the crew area, and I would always get thrown out by security. They just know you're not crew.
You want to like go hang out with everybody and you weren't allowed
to. Well, I was actually telling somebody this story the other day. Carnival, they would let me go on as a crew member. So I actually had a crew cabin, which was awesome because I was like living the life with all these crew members, partying all night, dollar drinks, where, you know, when you go on board as a guest, it's like $12 drinks, not more. I'm like, I saved so much money this week being a crew member. So yeah, that's how that happened. And then I got burnt out and I was flying every single week. I mean, I go from Panama to Alaska to Miami. Like, I mean, I was everywhere and it was just I was just done. So I knew I needed a break and that's how I got into yachting. I actually stayed at a crew house, which was in Fort Lauderdale, which is basically where crew members of yachts sleep, and it's like a sorority and a fraternity house, but everybody there works on yachts. So they're usually like in between jobs. And when I was there, after I resigned from the cruise ships, I was at these crew houses and it was Yacht Week. And Yacht Week in Fort Lauderdale is basically every single super yacht in the world comes to Fort Lauderdale, Florida for an entire week. And it's just like one big massive party. So I like resigned from my job trying to figure out like what I want to do next. And then I ended up in the yachting industry. And then I picked up the phone one day and somebody needed an American stewardess. And I'm like, well, I've never worked on a yacht. They're like, we don't care. Like, we'll train you. We just need you for 3 days to clear customs quickly. I'm like, okay. So in the yacht world, you're quote unquote yachty is what we're called. So every yachty travels with like a bag, like a duffel bag, like military style. Here I come with my obnoxious pink and blue 75 and 80 pound suitcases, because one was always makeup product and I didn't have time to go to my storage unit because they literally called me and were like on my way to pick me up in like 3 hours, not even. I'll never forget that day. I was so crazy. But they were like, what are all these bags? I'm like, well, I've never worked on it yet. I don't know how this goes. I ended up going to the one yacht. The 3 days there turned into like 3 weeks. I ended up working for a circle of owners. So I ended up working on, again, not the normal. Usually you sign a contract to stay in one yacht. And I did over 20, I think it was like 25 or 27 mega yachts in 2.5 years. So I would just bounce around literally boat to boat, depending on what somebody needed. So if they needed a chief stewardess to manage all the interior girls or to do makeup or to cook, to clean. Sometimes I was a personal assistant. Sometimes I was a makeup artist. Sometimes I was a nanny. I would just bounce around through different owners, different boats. It's a really small world when you get to work in a luxury travel business like that. It's just everybody knows everybody. So I just worked really hard and made a name for myself. And then I had three agents, so they would always look for the next job. Like, I knew I was going somewhere for a month or two, they would find me my next job. So that's kind of how it goes, like in the yachting world. And then when you're over that, you either go on private jets or you become a manager of somebody's estate. You like move to land. You either go from the ocean, you either go to the air, to the land. And then that's kind of how those jobs work, like in that circle. And then long story short, my agents got me a job as a personal assistant for a high profile family. And I worked for them for about 3 years, 3.5 years. And I was living in New York, LA, Miami, and Vail all at the same time. Sometimes I'd be in all the cities in the same day. It was insane. And then after that was 2009, I resigned and started doing my own thing. And then since then, I've just worked with different private aviation companies. And I had a luxury travel business in Vegas. Everything was private aviation based, luxury concierge. I just took all the information I knew from all the jobs in that world and created experiences for people, for them to enjoy. It's just something that, like, I love doing, like creating opportunities for myself and then being able to work with amazing people all over the world and then just keep it moving. What the next project is.
A lot of what you were doing sounds very exciting. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I love to travel, like full-time travel and luxury sounds amazing. So how, like, what was that like as far as like fulfillment in your life? It sounds like you stepped away because it wasn't fulfilling to you.
Yeah, well, you get burnt out and you do live the lifestyle of like a rock star, which you see on shows like Below Deck on Bravo, but you also, that's very scripted. You also work like a dog. Like, you work so hard. And then you enjoy your few days off and that's it. But I just feel really good when I accomplish like one day at a time. You know what I mean? Like, I've never really had a problem with like, oh, you know, that's too much. Or, you know, I need a break. Like today I knew I needed a break. When I'm burnt out, I know I just like need to take some time off and then just reschedule myself.
Okay. So you stepped away from that and then... Is that when you started your first, like, your own business?
My first business was actually while I was doing the yachts in, like, 2006, 2007. I was doing luxury concierge work.
Okay.
In the yachting industry, basically. So that's when I got, and then I started blogging. So that was 2006. So I've had a number of different things I've done, like, on the side or, like, during a job. But full time now, it's been over a decade, which is amazing.
So when we talked the other day, you listed off at least like four plus like things that you're doing right now. So you have your podcast, you have your production company, you're a business and life coach, and then you do the, Rodan and Fields?
Rodan and Fields.
Okay. And is that it or is there anything else? Author?
Jeff? I'm working on projects, other projects, but yeah, that's what I focus on now. I know people always ask, like, how should I introduce you? I'm like, okay, so I'm definitely a podcaster. Now I'm definitely an author and I'm a business and life coach because when it comes to your business and or your life, like if you want to get somewhere, I can help you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you've done it. Like you've done so much of it. It sounds like you've created like ridiculous things in your life and it's different things. Like it's transitioned. And so now you're settled and doing all of these things out of like your home base now, right? So you're like established in San Diego. Is that right?
Yes. And it's so weird because I'm the exact opposite now. I'm like, I want to stay home for 4 days straight and not even go outside. I've just been around so many people for so many years. I'm like, I love my new office. I love my new closet. I just need a break from people. But no, not all the time. But like, I'm definitely older now too. So that was more than a decade ago, but you just know when you need that downtime and then you know when you're like on fire and you need to like go on live and like talk to the internet.
Well, I think that you do, like, you know what you need. And I think going back to the title of your book, like, everything is messy. I think a lot of us live unconsciously in the messiness of life, and we don't, we ultimately don't create anything, or we don't go anywhere, because we're just in like defense mode, like reacting to everything that's coming at us. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've just been like a huge advocate for getting up at 4:30 in the morning if you need to, or 6 a.m. if you're used to rolling out of bed at 9 or 10, because that's the time that you're going to be most productive for you, especially if you have kids running around, you have to homeschool. You know, the pandemic changed for everybody, changed us, changed our businesses, changed our world, you know? So if there's something that you want, the first thing you need to do is write it down. And then figure out how you're going to get there. Like, be scheduled, make a plan, get up earlier. And I've been helping people with this just all over the pandemic, like pivot their business to the internet. I had to do that when I got sick. I was running around Las Vegas like a crazy person, and I had to close that business and then bring all of my coaching experience onto the internet because I couldn't get out of bed. So I knew firsthand how it was and how you would feel like when this pandemic first started, how people were just stuck. Like, I don't know the internet. I know being in front of people. And I'm like, okay, well, I've already been there, done that. So let me help you. So I worked with so many people. I was so lucky when the pandemic first started, because they would come to me like, how did you do what you did a couple of years ago? How did you do that? How can I do that? I have no money. I have no budget. Like, how can I bring what I know online and profit? And then I would just show everybody, because I've already had to do that. So I'm like, now more than ever, it's just like so important to just do what you love. Like, life's too short, you know, figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah. And there's a lot of little things you can do. And so you do the business and life coaching. And so you're saying that people come to you because their businesses have shifted. So what are some of the other things that people are like in the messiness of that they come to you to help them fix, like outside of the pandemic?
Definitely, they don't believe in themselves and they don't know. They're just stuck. A lot of them are moms where they had this dream and then they had kids. Now they're like, okay, now it's my turn. Now we have a pandemic and I'm homeschooling. Like, how do I do this?
Yeah, I was thinking too, when you were like the personal assistant of like everything on the yachts, it's like, I feel like so many people need that right now, because life is, we need somebody to be a teacher. Moms have become like a teacher, and like they are doing all these different things that they weren't necessarily supposed to do. So that's a huge issue in itself. But sorry, continue.
No, you're right. And I feel like time blocking is really good for moms, especially only because they have their Zoom schedules ahead of time. I know this from all of my friends that have kids, and I actually didn't even realize until like a month ago how intense their children's Zooms were and how often, and why she was never answering my calls, because there's a whole, like, it's just insane the amount of schooling. And here in San Diego, it's hybrid. So they go half during the week and then half at home. But, you know, not only just moms, but other women that work full time and now know that this message and this brand and this business they've wanted to start all this time, they want it now, especially podcasting. They want it now. So the pandemic has shown them, like, I could have lost my job, or I have lost my job. They got a couple bucks from getting furloughed. They invested it into a podcast or coaching or whatever it is that they needed. I mean, I knew I did the same thing. I invested in the masterclass to learn how to write my book. I invested in a YouTube accelerator course so that I could strategize my YouTube channel better for the new year. I did the same thing. I think it was just like a wake up call for all of us. And like, now's the time I'm going to do that, because there's one thing that you can't get back, and that's time. So I didn't want to look back at the pandemic and say I wasted so much time. I was like head down working like crazy. And that was by choice, of course. But
yeah,
like, people were contacting me like left and right, like, how can you help me? How can you help me? And I'm like, oh my God, I need to help everybody. Thank God for meditation. And I do a lot of sound baths. So that's how I calm myself, so that I can be like on fire for everybody else.
You're saying so much. I'm almost just like, okay, we could go in like 1,000 different directions. But I think what I really want to tap into is this like self-worth piece. I think there's such like a reactive mindset, especially, I don't want to say especially, I think Well, I would say especially moms, because I've definitely seen it. I think moms have a hard time. There's this guilt for doing things for themselves, for sure. But I think women as well, it's like stepping and putting yourself out there is incredibly vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so can we talk more about the self-worth piece?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I don't know, because I've never really had a problem with that. But I know, like, when I talk to clients and potential clients, like, they're struggling. Like, I don't deserve this. I should be with my kids 24/7, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when we even define self-worth, so you're saying for a lot of people, it's about, like, what they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like you deserve happiness. You deserve success. Like, you don't deserve to be going to a 9-to-5 that you hate. Mm-hmm. And some people just live the life every single day. And I'm like, that's such a waste of life. Honestly, it's when I was sick and going through chemo, and then I found out I was misdiagnosed and I had to go through the whole medical malpractice times 6 and represent myself. Like, I deserve to win at the end of the day. Like, I deserve to get my life back. I deserve happiness. And that's with any situation. That just happens to be mine. But I feel like people just don't give themselves enough credit for, like, what they're doing, and then tell themselves, like, I do deserve this. Like, I do deserve to be happy. Like, I deserve more time for myself. Well, then get up earlier. You're going to love your life. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if you just get up earlier. Mm-hmm. I've preached this to so many people. And then I feel like once they start doing the work, they realize, like, I do deserve this. I feel like it's maybe some mom guilt. And then I feel like maybe they feel like they shouldn't take time away from, like, their partner sometimes, like, focus on a business. So it's, like, less with them. But at the end of the day, you're benefiting yourself, your partner, your spouse, and your kids by doing what you really love. Because if you're passionate about it, you're definitely going to make more money, because people will just feel your energy and, like, flock to you.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting too, like, what I've learned and what I believe is true is I think a lot of people don't even recognize that they're, like, unhappy and that mm-hmm. they have choices. It's like they don't mm-hmm. even know. They're just unconsciously going through the motions. And it sounds like I know that a lot of people wake up when something major happens. So, like, for you getting sick and having this, like, misdiagnosis for you was a huge wake-up call, and you could see things super clearly. But a lot of people don't have – I mean – that can sometimes be an invitation, right? A really powerful invitation. And a lot of people don't ever get the invitation to, like, wake up and look at their lives.
Yeah, I agree. And also, it was a huge wake-up call learning about the healthcare system in this country. I was like, okay, so apparently now patient advocacy needs to be on my radar. And yeah. Since the day I was diagnosed, like, I would go on Facebook Live. I mean, that's how my whole podcasting business and my show started, because I immediately got on a microphone. I just figured it out. And my show was about business, LinkedIn, and my life with an autoimmune disease. I'm like, if I'm going through this horrific experience right now and I'm strong enough, I'm going to figure it out and fight it and not, you know, die from it. Like, I got it for a reason, so I could show others to be strong and to do exactly what I did in their own way or however they feel comfortable. But I just feel like there's no other reason why I got that.
So, I mean, and what you're saying is, like, there's so many different pieces to it, right? It's like the healthcare system, but also, like, a lot of us give our power away. We yeah. trust these authorities to tell us what to do with our lives without actually stepping back and being like, what is happening here and what do I want to do? What do I want? How do I take care of myself? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. And especially, like, taking care of yourself, meaning questioning doctors. I went through 11 neurologists at the end of the day. Like, the top diagnosing expert in the world calling me on my cell phone telling me, yes, you're right. You have been misdiagnosed. I had 5 that were wrong and I had 6 that corrected them. And so I questioned everything. That's something else I feel like with the whole self-worth is that you just will take an answer when, like, you don't speak up for yourself. I'm always speaking up for myself and anybody that's, like, in my bubble or, like, I have, like, access to, because it's not, like, especially doctors, they're practicing medicine, right? So when it comes mm-hmm. to looking at MRIs and labs are science. And then MRIs, it's like artwork, you know, an X-ray, it's just different. And you need to look at all aspects of the picture and then speak up for yourself. Like, you are worth another opinion, you know, if it was, like, something medical. that's exactly what I did. And I just kept fighting and fighting. And at the end of the day, I won. Not monetarily, but like I got my life back. So now I can have even more experience now to help more people.
How did you know to question that you were, because I know you went through chemo, think you believed that you had what they said. Yeah. And so how did you begin to question that?
So it started off in 2016 and I was first diagnosed with MS. Then I was diagnosed with this autoimmune disease called NMO, and it stands for neuromyelitis optica. NMO used to be a variant of MS because it's very similar with the symptoms. And now you cannot have both. It's one or the other. So the first neurologist told me I had MS. I had another radiologist look and he's like, that doesn't look right. It looks like NMO. So I just kept questioning them because nobody knew what the heck was wrong with me. They're like, oh, well, you're extra special because you have a variant of both. I'm like, that's impossible. Because you're given different drugs that affect you different ways. So you can't have both diseases. So that was the second opinion. And then the third wanted to give me all these MS drugs because I didn't want to take chemo. I was like, you guys don't even know what's wrong with me yet. Why are you just going to pump chemo into my veins? So I opted for IV steroids. And then from there, because I had an awful side effect on the last day, I got rushed to the hospital. I spent 9 days and I did blood transfusions like for days on end. And that's when I met the third, fourth, and fifth neurologist that confirmed me that I had this NMO. So from 2017 until 2019 is when I did all the other blood transfusions and all the medicine. I mean, I was on like 12 prescription meds and then I did 8 rounds of chemo in just like a couple months. The side effects from the drugs I was on give you the same symptoms of this disease. So it was showing up that I still had it. And the chemo suppresses your system. So the more you do, the less is going to show in a lab. But then it was December 2 years ago, and I'm like, I'm done with this chemo. I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, I feel like I'm going to die. It was just getting worse and worse, my side effects. Turns out I was overdosed with it. You're only supposed to do it twice a year. I did 8 in 6 months or 4 months. I think it was 6 months. Anyway, I just was over it and I needed a specialist, which is why I came back to San Diego. So that's when I found out I was misdiagnosed. And then honestly, like I was in shock. So then I questioned him. I'm like, how are you telling me that all of this was a lie? Like, how is this? How is this like happening right now? So I questioned him. So I went to someone else. He's like, he's right. And then I got 3 more opinions and they all agreed. So then that's when I did the legal, but I just kept questioning them because I felt it in my gut. Like I knew I didn't want to live like that anymore. I just had that gut feeling. And that's something that people need to always follow because you have that feeling in your gut for a reason. And something just told me like, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're all wrong. And I just hopped on a plane and hoped for the best.
And so where are you at with your health now with all of these, after all of this? Do you have any of these diseases?
No, there's nothing wrong with me. 0. I have a thyroid issue, but I've had that since high school, Hashimoto's. And that's pretty much been stable. Well, that has been stable like the whole time. I've never had like flare-ups or anything like that. That's it. I take vitamins. Wow. I don't take prescription medication. So for about 2 years now, I've been detoxing from the chemo and all the drugs I was on. So that's why I'm very into healing my body with healthy foods. That's why my cookbook is vegan, because I feel like fruits and veggies are the best way to heal internally, especially that's why everybody's doing a juice cleanse or some kind of detox, because like they have so many nutrients and vitamins, like they're really good to, when you're trying to heal. And I was detoxing hard. Like I still have this stuff still in my system. It's insane. And when you come off all those meds, like you don't know what's going to happen. So I just live my best life and wake up with my green juice every day.
Yeah. So your original cookbook was going to be called, what was it? Chemical Free?
The Chemical Free Living Cookbook.
Chemical Free Cookbook. And that transitioned into you started writing, but all this personal development stuff, you're like, wait a minute, this is like,
yeah,
this just didn't come in like a vacuum. There's so many things connected with your plan and path to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so it just came pouring out. I went to the beach every day, 6 days straight. I wrote for 5 hours every day, and I wrote the book in a week. And then it was another week to confirm and cook all the recipes. The book is very different from, obviously, a traditional cookbook. What I did was I filmed everything, and it's available in a community for when you purchase the book. You have access to the community where you can see me cooking everything. So basically, I had my own little cooking show. So in the book, you see the recipe, and it's meant to be a journal and, you know, write all over it, like, what steps are you going to take? Like, take actionable steps. Like, what are you going to add to this recipe or the veggie burgers? Like, I want people to write all over it. It's very tiny. You can throw it in your purse. You can have it standing up on your counter when you're cooking one of my recipes to, like, you know, add your 2 cents to and be creative and add your own spin, your own spices. But more importantly, like, reading the personal development chapters, it's going to help you really help you get that clear vision of where you want to be in your life.
How do you feel now looking back on this experience as it's come super clear for you that you're meant to share and like teach about it? Like, how do you feel about everything you've been through?
I mean, half of me wants to say still angry, but I feel so grateful that one, I'm alive, and that two, like, I know this happened to me for a reason, and it's to help so many other people struggling. And yes, I've had a crazy entrepreneurship career. I traveled the world. All of that helps with business. But when it comes to life, like, I've lived and died and, like, lived again. And, like, there's just so many things people don't realize, like the simplest things that you can do to have the best day. Because when that's all that you have left, like, I hope I wake up today. People don't think like that. They're just thinking of like the 100 things that they have to get done. But if you pull it back, especially now, like during the pandemic, this is literally everything I went through, because people realize, like, wow, I can't leave my house for 14 days. I guess I should appreciate the amazing home I have and paying rent on or my mortgage. Like, people don't appreciate the small things. And I feel like now I can really teach more because I have so much more experience from going through this traumatic event and, like, still having my head on straight and, like, finally feeling good. Like, I want to help people. Like, I'm so passionate about helping people get to, like, where they want to be for real. Not just like, I want this, I want that, I want this purse, I want to have a 6-figure business. Like, how many people have we seen, celebrities especially, that have multi-million dollar businesses and they commit suicide? Like, it's not about that anymore. It's about following your dreams and just helping people, you know?
And I think you've seen it all, right? Like, if you're working in these, I don't even remember what you call them, but these giant yachts, and see like the ultimate, like, luxury lifestyle, people who potentially have, like, from an outside perspective, everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have the experience where you're, like, literally fighting for your life. Yeah. And you come out of that with a lot of wisdom and experience about what actually matters in life. And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
And we're all skewed. It's like, even me, I'm like building my business and I get caught up in, like, these are the things that I think I want because why? Like, I don't even question a lot of the things that I think I want. It's hard to really get deep down and understand, like, what will that do for me? Like, what's the meaning? What actually will make me feel fulfilled and content in my life that's not shiny and flashy, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally did it today, like, because I decided to take, like, a mental health day. Yeah. I gave myself the day off and I wrote down, like, my end of year goals, certain things I want to accomplish. I have other books I've been working on, medical products I'm working on, my YouTube channel. I'm like, what do I really want to do, like, right now? Like, I have to ask myself. And then I just categorize them in a very highlighted, post-it organized fashion.
So what is your, like when you look at your life, because of so much that you've done and because of your drive to serve, right? What are your goals? Like, how do you define success in your life?
For me, it's just being able to go to bed at night knowing that I help somebody accomplish their own goals. Hmm. If they're missing something in their business or their life and I'm able to help them, they are sending me, you know, gratitude messages and voicemails, like, oh my God, I never would have thought that that was, like, a thing in my life. And I helped them get to that place. Like, that's success for me. I can say, you know, I make X amount of dollars. My podcast is in X amount of countries. Like, that's great. But guess what? Like, audio files can crash. Somebody can buy out somebody else's podcast and you're going to walk away. You know, like, it's the whole thing. Like, if you have a business, you need to have an email list, because do you own Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? No, you do not. So how are you going to communicate to your future clients or people that are trying to like get information from you and want to hear from you if you don't have an email list? So you have to be smart about things like that. But success to me is just going to being able to go to sleep and wake up knowing that I helped at least one person change their life for their business, and then being able to wake up like just grateful. Like, as soon as my eyeballs open, I'm like, oh my God, my eyeballs are open. Like, people don't realize like when you're stuck in bed, especially like if anybody had COVID now, you were in your bed for like 2 weeks. That was me for months. And it's literally the worst feeling. And I would just like roll over and type on my computer for like a little bit, like trying to like help my clients, and like, you're not supposed to be working. And I like roll back over on the other side. But like, that was it for a really long time. And I'm like, I'll never do that again. And I don't want anybody else to have to suffer. So I went through a traumatic experience and came out winning because I got my life back. And now I'm just able to help more people. And that right there is success. Like, getting messages from people all around the world saying that they listened to a show and it helped them. Like, I record my show for a reason. And if somebody is messaging me or writing me a review about how it hit home for them, whatever the topic was, or like made them go get organized or whatever, that's success. And then of course, success in the kitchen is when I don't burn stuff.
Of course. And for me, success at the beach is not getting a sunburn. So it's measured in different ways. I can
add that
too.
I can also add that because I'm a big fan of the SPF 100.
Yeah. And like the beach, I think we're writing a book on the beach sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So one more thing I think would be really important to talk about. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions and like maybe like a stigma about somebody who is in a profession where they're helping people that you shouldn't also want to make money doing that. So I'm in the same boat. My whole life is based on helping people, but it's an energetic exchange, right? It's not like we're doing this and we're supposed to suffer and like financially be devastated or something and just like, you know, be Mother Teresa. So you do business coaching. So can you talk a little bit about money and how you see that as far as like the value of what you're offering and how people can like make money by helping other people?
Well, first of all, the question about money is people pay for my time. Our time is valuable. So I have an hourly rate. I have a weekly rate. I have a monthly rate. I have a yearly rate. Like, you're paying for time and you're paying for a service. So I never have any issues with that, because if somebody questions me, I question them right back. Like, you're doing the same thing no matter where you are. You're collecting a fee for your time, money, and energy. We're all providing a service, right? No matter what service it's in. But I never really put the two together, just because we all need to get paid. We all need to help each other and just level up. And like, you know, you'd go to Target to buy something that's going to help you get organized. So you need to invest in a coach that's going to help you up level. Same thing. Mm-hmm. The time, your energy, the service, or the product, whatever it is. Like, if you have bundled coaching, something like that, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think, and do you ever work with women who feel guilty, like charging a lot of money for what they're offering?
Oh my God, yes. And I always tell them to double it. And then as soon as they do, they start making money because they think that they're not worth it because they're looking at everybody else. Well, this person has this much money. I'm like, the internet is fake. You can have probably double or triple in your account, and you've been following somebody that's preaching something else. And at the end of the day, it's like all a lie. You just need to stop following people on the internet and get clear on your vision and what it is you want out of your business or your life, and just go out and get it. Reverse engineer is a great way of trying to figure out the financial aspect, like how much you want to coach, how much you want to charge for coaching, you know. But a lot of the things I do, like for my podcast production company, some I just produce for my clients, but it's a complete done-for-you service. So you're paying somebody to put together your entire podcast and write the scripts and produce it and coach you along the way and handle all the tech and the automating and the syndicate. Like, you're paying a service. If your refrigerator breaks and your washing machine breaks, you need to pay a service for them to come fix it. Same thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's also more when you get into like the medical field or like for you or also anything creative, because when you're creative and you need to write content, like, it just doesn't come out sometimes. Like, yeah. It's hard. I mean, I have 21 podcasts right now that I've written for. That's 21 different brains I have to get inside of to like write scripts that make sense for them. That's hard. I love it, but sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah, I guess I don't really understand that. So they have a podcast, but you're coming up with the content for them to talk about?
No, they do the content. So for example, like when you launch the show, say you came to me and you're like, okay, I want a show. How do I do this? So you would send me information or links to your website, your social media, and then you would send me your bio and tell me like what you want your show to be about. And from all of that information, I would gather something and then write a script for you to read, welcoming your guests onto the show. And then the outro is basically all call to actions, but the show description and the script for the intro, which you then add music to, I write all that. And then the show notes, I write all the show notes because I'm producing the show at the same time. So it's all their verbiage though. So I have to like get inside their head and then I just take it from there. So basically they just send me an audio track. But the beginning process is the most time consuming. Putting it all together.
I'm really glad you took a day off because, dang, like that is so much work. I can't even believe how much you do.
I love it though.
And even in that, I hear you like helping reflect back to people like who they are. I think people like a lot of the time it's like people need help understanding what they want, like breaking out of their subconscious systems. And I think you do a really good job of being like, this is who you are. Like, look at this.
Yeah. And it's reality. Like, you can't just live in like La La Land. Like, what do you want? How are you going to get there? Like, this is going to become a reality if you do the work. But you've got to figure out a master plan first. You can't just like wish for the best and like keep manifesting. No, you have to like do the work and then visualize it. And it's all going to happen. But nothing's going to come easy.
See, that's really important. I think that there's a lot of talk about manifestation right now. And I love what you're saying because you can't just sit and expect it to happen. There's a lot of work required and a lot of vulnerability and risk too, which is scary.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you a prime example. So I was sitting in my chemo chair and I would always have this music on my phone, whether it be listening to thunderstorms or being in nature with the rain. And I always had ocean waves crashing because I would close my eyes and I would visualize myself being back to this ocean in San Diego. Like, I am getting out of Vegas. I'm not going to die from this drug in my body. Like, I would just visualize it over and over and over again. I'd write it down over and over again. Nobody thought I was coming to San Diego. Like, I thought I was going to die in Vegas from like an overdose of chemo, something like that. I would manifest everything, me being back in San Diego, period. The day I found out I was misdiagnosed, January 23rd, 2019, I did a Facebook Live on the same exact beach I would manifest like sitting back on. I did a Facebook Live when I found out that I was done with my legal cases. Also, when I had to look, well, before I was done, when I had to basically become an attorney overnight and learn, take legal classes and learn how to become an attorney. I learned all of that when I was sitting on the sand with my notebook, writing the next steps of my life out. Like, how am I going to get my life back? And I would just manifest it and visualize it and over and over and over again. I wrote my entire book on that same beach.
Wow.
6 days straight. So it was like literally full circle. I put in all of that work to get me to where I am. I fought for my life. I fought multiple attorneys. I fought the whole medical system, the legal system. I fought for my life and now I got it back. And writing that book, I think that's why, because I was sitting in the same spot. I would just like manifest and see myself like, I deserve all these things back in my life. Like, I deserve to be a happy person again, healthy person. I can't even... Like, I could talk to you for a whole entire week, if not longer, about what I did all the steps I took, like the amount of work I actually did to get me to where I am right now. Like, I just don't even think, like, there's just so much that I did. So it's not just like, okay, well, I'm manifesting this. It's going to come into my life. No, that's not how it works. And I do agree. Like, I feel like there's so much like woo-woo stuff on the internet. Like, you need to set up time for yourself to figure out like what it is that you want. And then you have to work towards that goal. If you manifest it, that's great. Now you know what you want, but like you have to put in the work. It's not just going to show up. And then it did. Like, that's literally my story, like full circle. Yeah. And then Everything Is Messy is literally the title because it was so messy, but now it's not. And it's crazy because I wrote the entire book in the same spot that I would always see myself coming back to.
That's so awesome. And like messiness isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, it brought you something really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm here and I can share my story and just like honestly help more people.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you see it that way. I think a lot of people would just like maybe go into shame about this, but I think it's a really powerful story. And I think it's really important to share it because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who probably feel stuck or powerless. And hearing your story, you've been through a lot and look at what you've overcome. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you. And it's crazy that I'm this calm saying it now, because if you listen to my show, just on the legal episodes alone, I can't even listen to them back. Like, the amount of anger, I mean, thank God for therapy. Like, I'm still angry and I still have like triggers and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, you know what? Everything I wanted, almost everything I would have had if I won my legal case, I got from working hard throughout the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Almost everything. Wow. So that's pretty ironic and strange, but I am angry still, but like I can talk about it calmly, but I've moved on from like hatred, anger.
Yeah. And I think it's also okay for, you know, especially women listening, like it's okay to be angry and you don't want it to consume you. You want to go to therapy and process and keep moving forward. But like a lot of us are taught that it's not okay to be angry. You experience like significant injustice, like you're angry. It makes sense.
Yeah, but you do need therapy and you do need a way to calm your mind and you absolutely always need help. There's no way I would have survived without therapy, without EMDR, without my CBD oil, without meditating, without doing my sound baths. Like, there's no way. And now it's like I have to do it even harder because I'm trying to heal. But that's also something that's really important, is that when you do go through something traumatic or you're just like in a rut or going through a hard time, like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to scream. It's okay to do all of those things because you need to get it out so that you can like heal and move on. And absolutely talking to a therapist, that is by far the one thing that like I never, like that just is number one, has to be done.
Yay for therapy. Yes. And yay for your healing. So we've talked about like everything. Not really. There's so much more. But is there anything that you feel like we missed? Anything that you want people to know about your book or like anything like that?
What you need to know about my book is that I wrote it in a very different way for a reason. Like I shared, you have 20 delicious recipes sprinkled throughout. But at the end of the day, if you are somebody that is in need of getting to the next level in your business and life, you just need a nice kick in the rear. If you need like a real, like a legit real story that's going to share with you like how you can get what you want like in a day, because you're going to start writing things down, you need to read my book. Because And it's short. It's only like a 2-hour read. It's like short and sweet. And I just want to be able to share it with as many people as I can because I wrote it for a reason. And that's just to help more people get what they deserve, which is happiness at the end of the day.
And where can people find you?
They can find me on my website, thehappyworkaholic.com. Everything is there. So the Happy Workaholic podcast, my show is 3.5 years old, actually almost 4 now, which is crazy. My podcast is all about entrepreneurship and my real life stories. And I have all different series on there. That's on my website. All my social media, most of it, I am the Happy Workaholic. And then everythingismessy.com will actually direct you to my site as well. And you can buy the book. 40,000 retailers have access to it right now. So you'll see it basically everywhere you buy books around the US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and UK and Europe. That's where it is now, which is
so awesome.
So crazy.
Congratulations. So awesome. You are super inspiring. And I hope that other people found a lot of inspiration from you too. And get the book, guys. It'll be in the show notes. Should be pretty easy to find. And Kellyanne, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I appreciate your time.
Hey guys, it's Jasmine. Thanks so much for listening to the Live Your Life podcast, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find the show notes and information about life coaching at jasminesavari.com. You can also find me on Instagram at jasminesavari. I am a life coach and a licensed mental health counselor, but this podcast is not a replacement for healthcare services. If you are in crisis, please call 911 or the Crisis Clinic at 1-800-273-8255. Take care and don't forget to live your life.